Morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 14, 2018. It is 9 a.m. and we're assembled in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for a general discussion. Item number one is the Taylor Creek Fire Update. Dave Streeter, our Forestry Director, is here to give us a report.
Thank you and appreciate you taking the time to get a quick update. Hopefully, I won't have to update you much more after this in terms of damage to county properties. Commissioner Hare is already aware of everything that I'm going to fill you two in on, as I took him out last week in the field to look at some of the damage and told him what was going on and what direction I was going. Currently, we have lost almost 2,000 acres in the fire. We are fortunate enough that not very much of it was reproduction or smaller submerged timber. Most of it is merged timber. So there is some value there. I am very aggressively trying to get it out on the market. Right now I have a date of August 28th to go to auction with the stuff. It's still on fire, burning in the area, but it is a perishable product and I'm trying to do the Ricky Bobby on this and be first and not last. If a lot of timber starts hitting the market, it will clearly devalue ours, and most of the facilities can only take and handle so much of it.
So is our area still on fire, or just generally in the area still on fire?
Generally in the area, and yes, there are fires still, stuff burning within the area.
That's ours?
Yeah. Okay. There are like stumps on fire here and there, things of that nature. But in general, we're in the cool area now. It's not a threat of spreading inside there anymore. I have filed notifications with the state of our intentions. I've asked for a request for alternate practices to exceed 120 acres of clear cut, if it's necessary in some of these, to salvage all of the timber and not stop in areas. Everything's going great on that. We still have a few other resources that will require protection, such as fish-bearing streams. We can't get around those, regardless of whether the timber's burnt or not. But we're working through to try and recover as much.
What's the riparian distance off of the?
It depends on the size. There's three different streams, fish-bearing streams, small, medium, and large. Small carries a 20-foot no-touch with a 30-foot on top of that management zone. The medium is a 20-foot no-touch with a 50-foot management zone, and then the large is the 20 with a 70-foot management zone. Due to the constraints of time, we're just going to buffer them straight 50, 70, and 100 feet and just go. So we don't have time to go in and determine basal area in that management zone. So
you said you're going to request clear cutting part of it. I came down from Middle the other day and looking at all the Douglas County, I'm assuming that's private timber, but they clear cut everything up in there.
Yeah.
How do they do that and we have to ask permission?
So
ask permission?
Under the forest practice rules, there is a maximum clear cut size of 120 acres. You can ask for alternative practices and it's typically granted if you're working in salvage. So those guys.
Well, these are way over 120 acres. When you come down I-5, you look either side, and they're.
They shouldn't be. You're supposed to have 300 feet between green up. So basically, you can put one next to another one as long as it's been 5 years or 7 foot tall reprod in it. Then you can put it next to the other one. Okay. But you typically have to have a 300 foot buffer between them if it's less than that. You can ask for a waiver, but you need to have a good reason for doing it. Sometimes, depending on the property, if it was like all cable and there's only one way to get it all at one time, maybe it was a 160 acre piece or something like that, you could ask for a request for alternate practices. You may or may not get it, depending on what your rationale is.
I'm just curious, because you go up there and you can see the reprod and the various stages and we've been doing this for years, and they're still hammering away.
Once you get green up, then you can put one next to green up. So it's really that 5-year time frame. If you put one in here now, you can't put one next to it in about 5 years time frame. But we're going to get a waiver for that so that we can go get all of this damaged timber off of these properties. I've communicated with the BLM for road use. I've requested a permit from the Forest Service for access in on Limpy Creek to get our Buckeye Mine property. All of that's in the works, and I've expressed to all of those folks the need to expedite and not hold us up on that. I believe Commissioner Hare was going to send out some emails kind of poking those folks in the ribs, letting them know that we needed the stuff sooner, not later. I've also requested access, free use access to several rock pits in the Pickett Creek area to utilize that on the roads out there to try and extend the harvest season out there, both in the fall and the spring and possibly through the winter, if possible. So the fire right now is active on the south end and the northwest end on the Taylor and the Klondike. We still have some properties that are threatened on the south. The more it goes west and or north, we're fine. As long as it doesn't jump the Rogue River. You know, everything was immediately kind of across from Indian Mary. If it had jumped there, we would have been in deep doo-doo. We'd have lost a lot more out there, but I think we're in pretty good shape. What it's semi-threatening right now to the south is pretty low side scabby stuff down there, and we'll just kind of keep an eye on it and see what happens over time. But that about 2,000 acres and about 15 to 16 million board feet according to the inventory.
That's damaged.
Yep.
What percentage is that of our total portfolio?
Approximately 10%. So with this in conjunction with the Douglas that we're just now recovering from, that's and our sales that we've also sold, you're talking between 20 and 30% of our portfolio is had the clock reset on it, or will. So it will have an impact over time on our harvest level.
Downstream it will. Yes. I mean, it'll have an impact. These are trees that we weren't planning on harvesting, and now we have to.
Exactly.
So they're no longer in the queue. So the amount of harvest we can have coming up is going to be less?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll develop a plan. You know, we'll see what we get, what happens with all of this. There's basically a couple years worth of wood coming off of this as of right now. We'll see what happens with it. My goal would be probably to have no sales plan next year. I'm expiring these sales at the end of next year, so they basically replace next year's sales plan. And then there's also enough for the year after that, but I think we should get our toe back into the market, maybe try to cover our expenses for the department at least with a 2-3 million foot sale program in the following year, and not try to just go zero out. It helps to keep wood into the market, let sure people know you're a player.
You're still in business, yeah. I just for budgeting, you know, for projection, I think we probably wouldn't have kind of a long range, what your long range look is.
Well, there is no more long range look. When every year we're losing, within 5 years we lost 20% of the inventory, we don't know what next year's fires are going to be, and we're getting lightning the next 2 days. We don't know what is going to happen with the rest of this fire season. I mean, it's great to make a long-term plan, but I think that it's also, we have to take some serious looks about...
Could be dynamic.
Correct. And when is it going to be that we look at what sustained or sustainable, whichever the right word is, because I know I've been told I use them interchangeably wrong, what our sustained yield levels are with the changes in inventory?
It really doesn't change, but it changes when you can go get it. So in other words, it's also true to say it's sustainable to go out and cut all of your properties in 1 year and then sit and wait and do it again in 40 to 50 years. That's still sustainable, but you take all of your revenues at one time and then you have to live off of that over time. our goal is to be more consistent over time, maybe take some little blips here and there to take advantage of markets and stuff and have wood flowing all the time. So basically what it does is we're taking with our sale program that was 50% higher this year, plus the fire, you know, we're going to have to dip down below that constant level of around $6.5 million for a few years.
And then
build back up to that over time, so that that 10-year average is in that $6.5 million range. You know, I would say it's going to have a 1 million to 2 million foot impact over a 10-year time frame. That's board feet, not dollars.
Per year?
Per year, yeah, okay. Somewhere in that neighborhood. We're going to have to see what we get off of this, you know, what we got off of our green sales program, and then just kind of plan out over that what's the best trajectory to take back into the market. One other thing is, as a way of trying to make our sales appealable as possible to prospective purchasers, as I am offering an extension of time on any existing green contracts that they have with the county. In other words, leave that one on the stump for a year and come log this stuff.
And come log the salvage. Yeah.
And as part of that, also an extension of 1 year on their periodic payments. So we'll get revenue from this that will replace the payments that are on those green sale contracts.
Right, and all I'm
trying,
out.
Yeah, and all I'm it's trying to, that's cash out of their pockets that if they didn't log them in this year or next, you know, they're sitting there with cash out of their pockets. But I want them to kind of put that stuff on the back burner and get to this burn stuff.
Okay.
I don't mean to cut you short. I just want to be mindful of their time because of the other meeting I have this morning.
If you have any other questions, feel free to email or call me anytime.
And thanks for being at the cooperators meeting yesterday.
Constant battle. Thank you.
You're next. Item number two, SOS Recycle update. Also, I want to throw into the record that Commissioner Hare is absent today and Commissioner Morgan and Deanna are present. Good morning, everyone.
We can grab another chair. You want to sit up here?
Do you want an actual hard copy?
Sure.
Or you can.
Okay.
Commissioner Deanna, did you want a hard copy? Oh, you got one?
Scott Oman.
Okay.
Peanut gallery again.
Okay. That's the only thing we qualify for.
It is interesting, good timing. I mean, I'm getting a lot of people saying our prices are going up and our services are going down. And so it's timely.
Yeah, and that's interesting because the services aren't going down. We're still servicing the same amount of material, the same amount of trucks are going down the
Allied's
road.
Allied's not picking up as much recycling. I don't know if you guys are picking up as much as you were before, but as far as what people have been trained to put in recycle, I'm hearing people just say, just put in the garbage. So the amount of garbage they're gonna be sending is increasing and their rates are going up, but what they always considered free of sorts was recycling.
Right.
And
So I think the answer to that is that there's really a global reset in recycling right now. And a lot of the material that I think we're part of it, we have allowed some stuff to go in the cart that we knew shouldn't have been in there. But now, in order to find markets to recycle at all, we have to clean it up and we have to only send material that can actually be recycled. It's interesting that you're hearing that because we are not seeing lower recycling numbers, lower numbers of what we're picking up. So we know we've got the information out there. We know people are starting to hear that they can put less in, but they're not putting less in at this point. I just did a year-over-year comparison up in Corvallis, where I also work. I'm Julie Jackson, by the way. I'm sorry, I haven't met somebody.
No, hi.
And we are not seeing, maybe just a fraction of a decrease in what's in the recycling. And we started this process in about May up there. But we're seeing a big increase in the trash. And I think that has to do more with the economy than recycling. You know, we're still making more trash, and that's really the end game.
Yeah, that third component of reuse doesn't necessarily come in. That's maybe the next education piece.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the way we really start to couch things as we go forward and try to teach people. You know, recycling's never been free. And we've sort of always said recycling is free, but it's never been free. And now what we're really finding is it costs more to recycle than to landfill material now. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and if you look at different major areas, I mean, San Francisco, I remember seeing, it must have been Dirty Jobs, Micro
oh,
Dirty
sure.
Jobs,
yeah.
had done one where they just throw everything in the same containers and they pay people to sort it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to not have to worry about this bin or that bin. It all goes in one. They sort it all. And then, of course, down here we hear that Portland's still recycling. So it's kind of...
The head in the sand technique.
Well, and yeah, so anyhow, I appreciate the timeliness because people are talking about it.
No, absolutely.
Right. And, you know, I will say that the California... In Oregon, we rely on waste... To go someplace and be used. In California, it's called diversion. And if it just doesn't go to the landfill,
right.
then they count that. We have to have a reuse component. We have to actually prove to DEQ that it's going someplace and then it's going from there someplace to be used beneficially. And so there's a little bit different philosophy, but I've been to a couple of those plants in California, and what I know is that that material is so dirty. All of the paper in that mix is so dirty that it's not really considered recyclable anymore. They may call it diversion. They may pile it up someplace, but it's not being reused.
And a good example of that, and when you hear other cities saying, well, we're still recycling this or that, I was in a DEQ meeting 2 weeks ago where one of the material processing facilities said, we have 200 bales of this mixed plastic that we can't move. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice that the city is having the haulers pick it up on the curbside. Now it's sitting at, they feel good at there, but
yeah.
where it's really sitting is another place, and to be perfectly honest, it's going to get landfilled.
Right.
At what point in time do we say, let's get the big incinerator out and get four strap blowers, because you put enough oxygen to anything and it'll burn clean.
And incinerators are a good idea. We don't have the volume here to begin to even run one.
Right.
The last incinerator that I know that really got put in was up in the Seattle area, up in Washington. You have to have volume that we couldn't have in the entire Rogue Valley to get an incinerator to work
well,
or pencil
Marion,
out.
Marion County
we can work on that.
I'm not thinking about it penciling out. I'm thinking about it as an answer to get rid of the stuff.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It's either a landfill or you burn it, you know, one of the two. If you can't recycle it, burn it.
Right, and the concern there would be our rates right now, when you get a little bit of pushback on our rates,
I don't think anybody
triple them,
will
or quadruple the rates to be able to run that kind of a program.
Yeah. So in Marion County, the tip fee is over $100 a ton to go to their incinerator. So it's more than double what we're paying
for
to landfill material.
Right.
That's one of the nice things here in the Rogue Valley. We have a very inexpensive landfill that's designed to last another 75 years. So we could go with other programs and look at different ideas, but to be perfectly honest, the rates would go really high, really, really fast.
Well, and the landfill really isn't the problem because, as Trent said, there's capacity. The real issue is, you know, using up resources. And so what we really want to do as we go forward is we work with DEQ. There are a lot of people who have put their heads together on this. Is try to talk to people about really reducing consumption. You know, maybe you don't have, because we can't recycle those big, giant, clear plastic containers if you shop at Costco, maybe don't buy the material in those containers. I mean, we're really going to have to start to think about conserving resources.
Well, and where do we start talking to Costco about how they products,
exactly.
or, you know, package their products?
I got an idea. Why don't we put in infrastructure and pump 2% milk to every household, and then we won't have to
as you get started, because I know I sidetracked, can you guys, for the record, also just say all your names? Because
yes.
I stopped him in mid-sentence.
Yeah, you did.
I've
noticed that. I just kind of went by. I thought, how
yeah, I know. I'm the
about?
One in a hurry, and I'm the one sidetracking everything.
I think we do understand the problem, because I think, you know, Trent was in, and we've talked about this before, and it's not something that's going to go away soon. You're hoping that China all of a sudden says, we want your garbage again, but they don't.
Right.
And I don't know what changed over there to stop their economy, that they whatever they were using it for.
They've stopped burning. They've stopped all these little mills burning, and they're trying to clean up their air quality.
So, and we'll touch on that pretty quickly. But, again, I am Trent Carpenter with Southern Oregon Sanitation.
Nick Fahey, Southern Oregon Sanitation.
Don Moss, Republic Services.
And Julie Jackson, Republic Services.
So we have a presentation.
And I have houses with both of them, so.
Oh, good.
So we have a presentation. I'm going to move quickly through, because we did visit on this about 2 months ago. This is the same presentation that the City of Grants Pass has seen and the City of Cave Junction, all of which have already moved to the new mix and approved the new rates. So that you guys, we're coming to you now to unify Josephine County to have the same mix and the rates
and
to help cover
those
costs.
And you're cutting our rates since they both increased theirs?
No.
And before we get too deep, too, so I'm here representing the Solid Waste Agency as the chair. We've heard this presentation, and I think we're kind of up to speed on the where we probably have to go. And I have to leave at 9:30 for the only thing more exciting, sewage treatment across the hall. So it's a big morning.
So I will scoot through this, certainly be happy to stop when somebody has some questions. One of the biggest things that happened was China was buying 60% of the world's recycling. So you can imagine when a country decides to stop buying 60% of the world's recycling, that market's going to turn on its ear. The remaining markets have moved to a position where they will not take contaminated loads that China was. They will not take some of the mix that China was. And they suddenly said, you know, we're not going to pay for it. You're going to have to pay us to get rid of it. And that's really what has happened to the recycle market. Some of the things that make up the cost of recycling, the misnomer that recycling's free, it has never been free. It's been subsidized by the general rate. Some of the costs for recycling, of course, the trucks that are driving down there, the labor to pick it up, the fuel insurance, all of those things are covered under the current rates that we have. These new rates need to help cover either landfilling the material, because there is no fee that helps cover that right now, or going to the recycle market.
Has to go somewhere.
It has to go somewhere, and it has to get paid for to go to that someplace. We currently are landfilling all the material coming out of Josephine County that's picked up in the recycle curbside commingle container. The way we stop landfilling is we first have to change the mix. As I said, there is no market that wants our current mix. Then we have to enhance our education program, so we can't have contamination, whether that's somebody that doesn't want to listen or somebody that says, you know what, if I throw it in there, somebody will recycle it. Mm-hmm. Those are our two biggest issues that we see out there. Luckily, we're doing this a little bit later than some of the other programs, so we've learned from what they have done, namely road disposal, so we think we're going to hit the ground running better than what they did. And then we have to have the rates to cover those new costs. The new mix, and this is the same mix that we talked about a few months ago, is we are switching to corrugated cardboard. That's the cardboard that has the wavy lines. Plastic milk jug style containers, and most of that is so the public can understand what they can or can't put in there. When you try to explain ones and twos and not this and not this and not that, the messaging gets lost.
So not Tide containers, not that Tide. Are orange, but milk containers.
If it looks like a milk jug container, but it happened to have apple juice or it happened to have water, then it's still okay. If it's clear, it's fine. If it's the white one, those are okay. Most of that is so people can understand. Again, contamination is the biggest issue. If we want to be able to take our material to market, we have to have a good quality product. And unfortunately, we are nowhere near a market, so we have to be better than anybody else to try and get a decent price. And what a decent price means, cost us less.
You're lucky. We're lucky we have a place to take it.
Yes. We've switched, as we talked about earlier, the paper market has really kind of crashed. The only thing that we can really move is newspaper. And what comes in the newspaper, again, the junk mail, people are not interested in it. That's just, and these are the mixes that have been approved in Jackson County. Tin cans and aluminum cans are still moving. As always, we'll take motor oil at the curbside in a 1 gallon container. That's one of the things that we've always had.
And I think the important thing here is just to remember, for those folks who say, you know, I don't know what to put in, I'm just going to throw it all away because you're throwing it all away. I think if we can really convince people that these are the materials, and they always say, and what else? And I say, nothing. These materials, if those go in, we can assure you they'll get recycled.
Now, you'd say a 1 gallon container. Oil now at the store is in 5 gallon jugs, on 5-quart jugs.
And what we try to do, and that's the 1 gallon is from when I first started. The idea was we didn't want somebody to put up, you know, 8 pints. You know, we wanted put it in a couple of 1 gallons but we take it. We suggest that it should be in a 1 gallon just
but
so we handle it and contain less.
I go to get motor oil and it's 5-quart jugs now instead of 1 gallon.
And really, that doesn't matter to us. The biggest thing also is to stop commercial companies from saying, hey, I have an oil changing company and I want you to come pick up 300 gallons at my house. Well, no, you are in a business. You need to be in the business of taking care of that. That's not for our residential program.
There used to be people that come around and pick that up. Do you have that?
They still do. We actually have companies that service us, and we have to pay to get rid of the material now.
Okay, but I mean, if I were to call and say, you don't want to pick it up, and I don't want to haul it, but I've got 30 gallons of used motor oil, and the guy used to come and pump it out of the...
Yeah, and that's what they still do.
As long as you have a number that
yep.
you give out?
Okay, yeah.
Great. Thank you.
So, I've had people ask about shiny inserts in newspapers.
What we have been told by the individuals that we're taking our material to, if it comes in your newspaper, we're good.
Okay.
Short of don't put the plastic, if it was raining, don't put the plastic on there,
sure.
But if it came in your paper, you're okay.
Right. And I hear people just throwing away glass now because we heard glass isn't worth recycling.
Well, we haven't had glass curbside in Josephine County for over 10 years.
I know.
Instead
of hauling it to recycle, they're just saying whatever.
Well, and an important understanding is in Josephine County, glass is used as an aggregate at the landfill for ditch lining and road basins. So instead of digging up ground and using rock, we're using glass for that. It's an alternative use that's approved by the DEQ.
Cool.
And it's also a material, it adds another material to the DEQ list. So there are a certain number of materials that need to be recycled, and that also adds that.
The few locations that will take glass up in Portland, they're getting so much glass from the bottle bill stuff that they're not really interested in curbside glass.
And certainly not this far away from the market.
It's sure. just too heavy and too expensive to transport.
We talked a little bit about education, and that's the big thing. Even the DEQ is finally starting to talk about their hierarchy, which is the reduce, reuse, and then recycle. And that's been their hierarchy for a long time. They've just forgot about it. So now that's exactly one of the things that we are really trying to push out there, that if a consumer reduces, don't rely on us or the government to always solve your problems. If you reduce what you bring into the household, then that's really what we should be trying to educate on. Reuse, if you can use it for some other thing. Again, very good. Recycling should be the third option, not the first.
Pleasure.
We're doing more outreach in schools than we ever have. We actually have new outreach on our Facebook page. We're revamping our website, and we actually are getting a new app for everybody's phone that also has a waste wizard in there that you can scroll down and say, oh, I've got this kind of material. Where do I take it? And so even if we don't take it in one of our programs, we have answers. You know, oh, I've got a TV that's working. Okay, here's 3 locations that you can go to here in Josephine or Jackson County, which we think is going to be a very useful one. We're basically stealing that from Rogue Disposal. They've had a lot of luck with it.
You need a hero like Captain Garbage or something, tells you to the kids.
You know, it's funny you say that. If you visit our booth, you'll see that we have Sam, who is now the recycle guy, and it does have a cape, and it's really just to grab people's attention.
That's it. Get a kid interested, and then he goes home and tells Mommy and Daddy, oh, you can't do that, Daddy.
Right, and that's where we focus a lot of attention is in the schools, because that's where you can really get some traction. Some of the new costs, these are the same numbers that you guys saw a few months ago, really were the biggest numbers, the processing, and that's where we used to get paid for the material. Now we have to pay to get rid of it.
What does it take you to reach 1,200 tons?
Well, we're above that.
Time-wise, is that a month?
That's a year. For us, that was last year's number. I think we were at 1,245, and we're scheduled right now. We'll be above 1,245 this year. So as some people think that recycling is going down, we're seeing more right now. Because, to be perfectly honest, some of the tonnage that we're seeing is continued consumer consumption of material. You know, Amazon's going crazy. Walmart goes crazy. We have more cardboard in our commingle program than we ever had. And it's not in the back of, you know, Walmart anymore. It's actually at the curb. So we're seeing our curbside numbers go up. One of the things that the city asked us to do was to forecast what our rates, what was happening to us with this new market. So for SOS, you can see in 17, we reported a 12% profit margin. Again, in the franchise system, you want us to shoot between 9 and 13. That's where you like us to be. When we actually put the numbers back in for recycling for 17, it dropped us all the way down to 8. If we looked at landfilling this year, we're going to be at 6 is what we're forecasting. If we would have recycled material this year, we'd be down at 4.2, which is below the 5% emergency number. With the rates that we're proposing, it would put us right about 7 to 8%. And both companies, we've talked about this numerous times, we're not looking to solve all the problems right now, but let's stop the bleeding. We can't live at 4%. If we can get back to 7 or 8 and see what the market does and see where we go, that's what we're looking to do. You can see that Republic did the same kind of forecasting. While their numbers are a little bit different, they're very similar in
right.
you just can't have $300,000 worth of new costs and not have something happen. And again, I'm moving very quickly, so stop me if you want me to grab hold of something. One of the things that we talked about at the last meeting was a $2 fixed cost per household, that it didn't matter what size cart they had. That was one of the options. That has now been changed. Both the city of Cave Junction and the city of Grants Pass elected to go with a 6.1%. So that way, someone that had a smaller garbage cart felt it a lot less. What that did for us, it means almost 40, 50% of our customers will see only like a $1.10 increase. So a large portion, like 4,000 of our 6,700 customers are only going to see like $1, $1.10. And that, you know, some of them are going to see less because they are, you know, 35 every other week. So they're going to see like 70 cents. And for whatever reason, they went with that. We believe it, we've seen it go both ways throughout the whole state. Some people are doing it this way. Some are going with fixed. This, when I've talked to everybody, they felt this was the fairest way. Whatever you're generating, that should be proportional to what you should be paying more of.
5 cents a day.
Trent, does the volume of recycled, is it pretty much linear with the cart size? Do folks that have 65-gallon carts produce about twice as much recycled as 35-gallon?
It's all over the board. Huh. There's some arguments that people that have a smaller cart size actually recycle more.
Right.
And because we don't do any volume testing off the curbside, and it's always been an included cost, it's just here's how you come up with it.
It's probably harder now with like Amazon, so, like you said.
I mean, I have a bin that has the pictures right on the top. I want to say up in Malala when I visited my sister, they have a sticker that got placed on the top of it that's wearing out of what you can or cannot. How do you re-educate so when people go to put something in the bin, oh yeah, I can't do that. I mean, is there a methodology?
So what we're planning on doing, Road Disposal did put new stickers on, which is extremely expensive, and that would be... could be prohibited because we've seen stickers not work because after a while they fade, they get washed, they just peel off. One of the things that we're going to be doing, and not all of our carts have those stickers, but some do. We're going to be doing cart hangers on every one of our customers. We're going to do direct mails, and we're going to have a whole new program to educate the people. One of the things that we're going to do, this is really a 2 or 3 month rollout, and that's what we saw Rogue do. We start just hitting everybody 5 or 6 times with, here's the new mix. Here's when it starts. Here's what you got to put in there.
So the only concern I have is as landlords pay the bill for the rentals, so the renters aren't getting the direct mail. They're not getting the notification. It's going to where the bill goes versus where the service location is.
Right, and we've always had problems with that, whether it was education for them putting the wrong things in the containers or even before when the recycle program, they wouldn't put the carts out on the right day. We don't have a really great way to reach out to them other than we do advertising in the paper, we do advertising on the radio. We've asked the city and they're going to put some information in their flyers, but again, those could be going straight to...
Have you thought about sending them to service locations instead of necessarily
we certainly billing? We certainly could do a mass mailing to a zip code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, you have like 7 in the area.
And then we also have the ability to do call them all. Where we'll reach out to them, you know, hey, here's the program, here it's coming, and then you've got the cart hanger out at the location. When we do the call them all, those should be going to the actual service address. So we'll be calling the actual end user.
Well, I don't know that you necessarily have the numbers of all the end users.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
So, it's always a struggle. It's always a struggle to reach out to renters, and sometimes we have to rely on landlords to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I mean, that's what I would do is get a hold of them and say, this is the new process. And
our hope is with all this outreach on Facebook, on websites, on radio, that they'll, if nothing else, the renter would call in and say, hey, I rent somewhere. What do I need to put in there?
Yeah,
they will get a hanger, so they'll see the cart hangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they're, they'd almost have to ignore it if they don't want to see it, is what I think.
Some people will do.
Oh, yeah.
We know that, but, you know, we get the most that we can.
One of the things that the city council was also concerned was with rates. How do we compare to, like, Ashland and Talent? So we are very comparable. We're actually below what they are charging, so we think we're doing the due diligence there. There's a list of all the cities that have done rate increases. We are holding the line right now. There's a number of cities that now have actually started charging to go into the recycle depots. So at this point, we're not doing that, but that's not unheard of. 4 or 5 locations already in Oregon saying, the material costs money coming in here. We believe the rates will help cover that, and at this point, we're not suggesting that.
You're still encouraging people to use them.
We do. So what do we do now? We believe that the best thing to do is, again, as the cities have done, move Josephine County to the new mix, adopt the new rates, and then go with our new strategy countywide. We're going to be doing the same thing in Jackson County, and that will almost unify all of Josephine Jackson County with the same mix, which we're hoping we get some synergistic kind of media campaigns, because we've actually had people hear some of Rogue Disposals and go, oh, the mix has already changed. Well, not really, but that's where we want to get to, where everybody says, this is the new mix.
And Republic and SOS are cooperating so that we're sending the same message to everybody in the county, because it doesn't make very much sense for the person across the street to get a different message. So we're working together on that.
So you guys need to come to a weekly business session to get it approved by vote.
Correct.
It would almost be appropriate to give the presentation there to make sure, because it's televised, getting the word out.
And that's what we did for the city council. We were in with them about a week and a half ago, did it at a normal city council meeting, did the presentation. No one showed up. But we'd be more than happy to do it. I think we were hoping, not knowing what your guys' calendar was, is sooner is better. I don't know if next, what you have on the calendars, but Rob had talked about maybe putting on the 22nd.
I don't see. Do you see any problem with that? Mm-hmm. I think the sooner the better. I think the sooner we get started on this, you're losing money every day.
Today's the 14th, so the 22nd is the soonest we could do it. And the 29th is the next housing one, so that's going to have people there. So you probably want to not do it that
day. Stay away from the 29th. But
the 22nd was hopefully for us, because that puts us right in line with the rate increases we did with the city. So all of the county would be kind of seeing it all at the same time, if it's possible.
Yep.
Let's see if we can do that, and we'll get with.
So that would be a 9 a.m. Wednesday meeting at the Ambassador.
Yeah. And I think let's try for that. Let's get this thing over with. I don't see. There's no other way around it. You know, we can't control what our friends to the west are doing overseas.
No, we really can't.
And you know what? Yeah. They put the squeeze on it. That's fine. We'll just deal with it.
Well, anymore, we would have had to pay a tariff for it anyhow. So, oh, sorry.
And then I could say both the city of Cape Junction, city of Grants Pass, it really was a non-star. I mean, it literally was an empty audience. It was, when you do, like you said, when you say it's a dollar increase for a month.
And I'm glad that Jackson and Josephine, because there is water cooler talk between the two counties.
Absolutely.
And I think that's consistency with SOS on both fronts, and I think that's okay.
And the mix has already been approved both in Jackson County and in Eagle Point, which are the two largest municipalities that we serve there.
The only complaint I have received at all was green waste costs, where city used to subsidize, and it was, what, $2 a load or something like that? You know, so I had people saying, why are you guys raising the rates for green waste? I might as well go dump it in the forest where it'll, like, oh, that's lovely. Keep it. Well,
that's being used differently and processed differently, too. So I think that's the simple answer to it.
Yeah. And the city was subsidizing over $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right. And when that stopped, you know, so.
Right. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think what did it for us was when they were taking your compost and composting it and then selling it back to the Parks Department for like unbelievable amounts.
Right.
And it was ours to begin with. But that's okay. That's another start for another time. Any other questions?
Commissioner? Thank you.
You know, I don't envy sitting in your shoes, but you know what? It's something that has to be done. There's no way around it. It's just, how do we roll this thing out? What the message is, and I think if the message is consistent from all entities in Jackson and Josephine, let's not get involved in what Douglas County, I hate to see what Douglas County is facing up there, but that's not our issue.
Heard a lot.
Right now, they're squirming.
Yeah.
But I think if we stay ahead of it, I think we'll be okay. And you know, when you break it down into, hey, it's a nickel a day, you know, I talk to people that have tattoos all over them and smoking a cigarette and say, I ain't paying that. I go, okay.
Well, we're really proud that, to be perfectly honest, that our rates are lower than most of the most of the rest of the state. And when we compare it to Ashland and Recology, and when we compare it to Medford, and when we're holding the line really tight here.
Right.
And I think that's important.
And it is waste. To me, it's akin to a sewer charge. Don't pay it. We'll unhook you. No big deal. And you'll be begging us to hook you back up. So that's
Well, no, I mean, there is a reason why, though, landlords pay for tenants it's not piling up. It's not creating room problems and all this other kind of stuff. So, okay, so we'll see you next Wednesday.
That'd be super.
Yeah.
Awesome. See you at the fair.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I'm about to go take animals there right now.
Do you want us to keep this PowerPoint?
Yeah, I think we could certainly use the same one unless one of you sees something you would like changed on it.
I think that's fine. Commissioner Morgan, do you have anything else?
No, Senator Merkley is going to be out at the EOC this morning. And there's a meeting in Medford I was supposed to go to this afternoon, but I don't know that we would have a quorum for the legal, so I have to rethink that.
We'll let you know on that.
Okay.
I just had two things for additional subjects. The Mike Cavallaro RV COG.
You're okay.
You guys are done. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate you coming by. The 46K on that, on the Food and Friends. He was supposed to get back with us, wasn't he? And let us know what he was cutting out to get to that 92,000.
They were at that. They were trying to get some other grants. They were trying to get that cost
right
down. And
the,
I think that it's...
Mr. Harris said, well, are you cutting out the fire suppression system, for Pete's sake? What does that cost?
Yeah.
You know, try to reach that.
I would check with Arthur, because Arthur's the liaison with
okay
them.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. Okay. Great. Sounds good. That's the only thing I had. And I had a great meeting yesterday with Ross Day and Amanda.
Oh, good.
Very very positive. I was surprised.
Good. I'm glad.
So I think we, you know, we.
I'm. Thank you for doing that.
Got some ideas going.
Awesome.
Okay. With that, we are adjourned at 9:40. Thank you.